Here we are back live, PBS Radio Online. Good evening. Another hour with Winfrey in Sedona.
I don't know if anyone's listening yet, because we have gotten our audience into the habit of being 10 minutes late, because they all like to say hello and hear each other.
So this no David one's... And Valerie?
Hi, David.
I wasn't supposed to mention Valerie's name. Sorry about that.
Hey, we're on the radio now.
Thank you for being here, David.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, let me see if I can remember where David's from. You're not from Wisconsin, are you?
No, Livermore. I actually sent you a picture tonight on email.
Oh, Livermore. Valerie introduced you, right?
Yes. Yeah. And she's sitting right here, actually, too. Sorry about that, but... No, she needs recognition. No, she's really very spiritual and loves you guys and loves Terry. And I wish they could get hooked up, because I think it would boost each other's, you know, spiritual heights, you know?
You know, I'll tell you something, David. My experience has been over and over and over again that what we do on these calls, when people try to get, it takes a long time to harmonize on the personal level. And when people come on the calls and then we get to know them, I do my best, but I drive people crazy. And Terry has no boundaries. So, you know, usually they try to make Terry their friend. You know,
right.
You know, things like friendships take a long time. True friendships usually, not always, but usually take a long time to develop, you know? And
right.
So they're authentic. And I am so bored about talking about everything that most people want to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I can act it out and make pretend. Well, what do you think of Donald Trump? You know?
Would it be like this, would it be like describing it like a musician being tired of his own music? Like, I'm so tired of listening. You know, but you love to play in front of an audience, so, you know, you can feed off it, but when you're sitting there playing by yourself, it's like, I'm so bored of my own music. It's not even, I don't even feel like
it. Well, you know, it's true. It's like when I, you know, I'm a musician, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah,
I've been a songwriter. And
right, so am I. Well, I don't write songs, but Valerie does.
Okay. Let me rock the next question here. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to be rocking. Thank you for being here. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, so.
Let me wait for the next one. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Hayes. It's Prudy. Hi, everyone.
Good evening, Prudy. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the next person that joined in, welcome. Good evening. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Good evening. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, Don, are you a change? Is that Carolyn?
More people have joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
I picked up Terry from Dallas. Good evening, Terry. Another lady's voice.
And Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Perfect. Did anyone else join in?
Jeannie, I'm not forgetting you, by the way.
You're not forgetting me?
No.
You mean my email?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
And
if I don't do it, if I don't do it, Jeannie, I'll get karma.
Oh, well, you know, you still got a big bank account.
I'll have to come back another lifetime and do it.
Oh, no, we're all going to graduate this time. Hopefully.
Well, you know what? Who's that, Prudy?
Yeah, that's Prudy. That was funny.
What? We're all going to graduate this time?
We're all going to graduate, hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, as Hives would say, only if you want to.
My hands up.
I mean, you know what? I've gotten fond of all you guys.
We love you too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we love you. We love you too.
I hope if they don't graduate, what am I going to do? Am I going to come back and fetch them?
There's not an option, Wynn. There's not an option.
You've already ascended, Wynn, I think. You've already ascended probably thousands of years ago, and that's why you're here. To be back in this planet right now in these times, there's only a certain amount of spirits that we're supposed to be able to get in. Okay? And, a lot of them signed up. And so if you're on this planet right now and doing like what work you're doing, you were a badass. You were a badass somewhere else. Okay?
Thank you, Dave. Good evening, welcome.
Yeah. There you go.
The caller that just came in, welcome. If you want to, please share name and location.
Roger in Austin. Good evening.
Roger, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Roger is known as the Elephant Man, the people who he sends emails to.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, Roger sent me an email with a link to a YouTube, and it was a movie that I remember when it came out, but I never went to see it, called Hatari. Do you guys remember the movie Hatari? Anyone that was in the 1960s?
1955, I think.
1955. So, it was with John Wayne and a very cute actress from that time. What's her name?
Elsa Martinelli.
Elsa Martinelli. I mean, she's, not only is she cute, but she's German, I think. No, she's Italian. But she's sophisticated and really intelligent, you know? She's very self-assured. Surprisingly self-assured. And so it's, John Wayne is a guy who's in Africa fetching animals to bring back to zoos in the United States. And I don't know what her job was, except to look good and cute and play with animals. But there was this one scene. I didn't see the whole
That's
movie.
What women did in cinema back then. That was how women were. They weren't sacred feminine yet.
I thank you so much. You women's liver, you.
No, it's just a natural progression. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing. I'm just, it all fits.
Right. But in any case, if you want to enjoy yourself, okay, there's the scene that Roger sent me was Elsa Martinelli marching a bunch of baby elephants to the water, okay? And to the music of Henry Mancini. And I never took in how cute elephants can be and how intelligent elephants could be. And I guarantee, look up Hatari, how would somebody search for that, Roger?
Just, do a YouTube search for baby elephant walk.
Yeah.
Okay, baby elephant walk.
Yeah.
I guarantee you'll get a kick out of it. You'll probably send it to other people. It's one of those things that there's these elephants have an infectious joy to them, which just blew me away, okay? And who just came in? You're not an elephant, are you?
I'm a dolphin. Hello. It's Debbie from Spacer.
Hey, Debbie. It's Bonnie in California.
Hi, Bonnie. How you doing?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hello.
This movie was unique in a couple other ways. One of the things about it was they actually shot it on location in Africa with wild animals, including wild rhinoceroses.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous to do all this, and people could have got killed.
I mean, I got a feeling those rhinoceroses charging the jeeps were
that wasn't
not
staged.
Wasn't staged. They weren't acting right. In any case, okay, we're in the middle of this dimensional shift, and you guys are assigned to watch the baby elephant walk so you can learn how to ascend.
Yeah.
Come back as an elephant, right?
No, they're probably above humans. Okay, like on the spiritual plane, like there's a cows, the reason why they sit there and look at you is because they know they're gonna be you next, okay? And then we look at elephants like, wow, they must be really smart, okay? Look what they do and the body they're in and the very challenged and all this stuff, but no, they're like more spiritual and more of a being that we're going to be them next.
Mm-hmm.
They can read your mind.
I agree.
Well, they're self-aware also. They're one of the few that recognize themselves in the mirror.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because they have such handsome ears.
Well, that's what they did is they put... They put something on their ear, like a big colored sticker or something. And, and then they put a mirror in front of them and they're reaching their trunk up to try to reach this colored sticker that's on there. So they're recognizing themselves in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
On a galactic level, I think, some of these animals and like whales and porpoises and stuff like that were planted here to balance out the vibration of this planet, okay, and the universe. So elephants might do the same thing. So.
Well, I know dolphins were.
Yeah.
And Debbie.
Star Trek, when they came back to Earth, on that one of those first motion pictures they had, come back to Earth and check on the whales.
Who remembers Tribbles?
I don't.
Nobody remembers Tribbles.
Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember it? That was a Star Trek where there were these cuddly little furry animals that got on their ship and kept reproducing. And
that's right.
I named, when I was a kid, my father brought a cat home, which we named Tribble. So,
I remember those episodes.
Yeah. So, and you know, I mean, I've mentioned this before, but Gene Roddenberry, who produced Star Trek, used to go to channelings of Phyllis Schlemmer. You can look it up. He got a lot of his inspiration from the channelings of Phyllis Schlemmer. Now, you guys didn't know that. Look it up.
No.
Just look up...
Schlemmer's kind of figure, where are they getting some of these ideas.
Yeah.
Like Stanley Kubrick was supposedly, sent some messages, and that's why they messed with him. He didn't even want to do those fake, movie sets with NASA and stuff, but he did. They were forced him to do it. But he was being visited too at the same time.
Yeah.
He was able to put all that stuff.
Wow.
He was,
he was very aware of the Illuminati,
Right.
He probably was part of them, that was rebelling in some way.
Right.
But in any case, I was going to do a replay tonight, and I like, We have such classic. I'll tell you what. Let me start recording because I'm talking about what's going to be on.
Hold on. Can you be here to close off this call? As I will go earlier to the whole plant healing call.
Okay. The only thing is, if for some reason, I can't get this started, okay?
What did they?
And you have to start it, then open up another tab for Whole Planet Healing and leave this one open. Because if you shut it, it might shut down the playback.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You with me? And,
yeah.
You know, as you guys are learning, we do have some classic calls. And
yeah.
in terms of the quality of information, I don't really have to do it again. Because the first time is the best time, usually, when information comes through. But a lot of you haven't heard it. And this call.
And what's not recording?
Okay, wait a second. Yeah, right. Start the recording. Okay.
Mute the line.
This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is October 15th, 2018. And, this is our Monday night wild card call. And you know, every so often we play a replay. But our replays are not ordinary replays, okay? I mean, we have actually been growing together, learning together, and there have been calls that have been epic shifts. And after that call, the consciousness of the whole group changed forever because the information and the channeling was so evidently true, but it never occurred to you. You know, stuff on Jesus, stuff on Terry Friedman, stuff on the Old Testament, and stuff on who the Elohim are. And one of the, this call is from 2016, and it's called Elohim Keepers of Time. And I actually forget what the topic was supposed to be, but by the time it hit the channeling, they just blew me away, because it never occurred, that idea never occurred to me. I mean, I got the idea that they created the universe and they could send energy into the universe, and in this call, they say they can shift timelines. And I got the, you know, one of the experiences of shifting a timeline on the 3D human level is your experience of time passes more quickly. Many people have noticed on our calls, on many of them, that an hour, even 2 hours, passes by like, whoop, you know, where'd it go? And it's because of the energy is shifting our timeline in a certain way. And it's a validation that we're actually changing dimensions, that we're accessing other dimensions. Because other dimensions, I mean, I came to this conclusion a while ago, that the different dimensions have different timelines. And they move, I believe, even in physics, they say, like, if you're on a spaceship and you're approaching the speed of light in the spaceship, you will age differently. Like, you know, you'll be on the spaceship, and when you get off, maybe 100 years have passed on Earth. Of course, it depends how fast it was going, but only the people on the spaceship haven't aged relative to Earth time. And it's like, even the speed of light is not a final destination. I never asked about that, but it's been talked about that the speed of light, things go faster than that. And when they go faster than that, they go into multi-dimensionality. You know, it's kind of like, beam me up, Scotty. that was Star Trek. But that idea is faster than the speed of light. And that certain spaceships are actually people that are just manipulating the whole thing as part of themselves in their mind. But in any case, in this call, in the channeling, the Elohim explain how they are the keepers of time. And the call is a little over an hour, so I'm going to have to start it in a little bit. Let me see, it's an hour. No, it's almost exactly an hour. And we only have 40 minutes. 40 minutes till 7. So hopefully it'll start. Okay, let's see here. Let me see. Okay. Now when it starts, I'm going to push it forward because I want to make sure you get to the end of it. Play file failed. Failed. If I do this enough time, it'll play. Hi, are you there?
Yes. Is the 328?
It's 215.16.
215.
But once it starts, push it in about 20 minutes, okay? Let me try it.
Hey, good evening. This is Gijs Minderhout calling from Magalia, California. It is February the 15th, 2006.
Give you many of those who are attracted to this work and are curious come from celestial lineages. You've had incarnations in other solar systems, in other galaxies. I have no idea the extent of it. And it's just the matrix keeps rearranging itself. And at a certain level of evolution, you seem to be able to program your future. At a lower level, you can't. You're just, and sometimes the body translates it as shivers or a clear space. One of the ways you can tell something is actually happening is to notice that it's really not a function of my talking. If I just stop talking, you'll still feel it. I'm not entertaining you. What we're doing here is, and we're doing this for the highest good of all concerned, we're doing this with a lot of protection. But we're creating a group energy amongst us, and they are blending or joining with our energy, and we're making an energetic connection with them. And I say both the Elohim group and the Ra group. And that is the connection that gives them the permission, if you ask to work with you, keep in mind, you're only asking yourself. You're not giving up your power to some great, powerful God force. You're loving the part of yourself that you separated from a long time ago and lost track of. And now you're remembering it, coming together. And they, at least to what they say, what's interesting is because Terry is the voice for them, they talk to us and share their experience and how we can have a better experience through the connection. So, when I was reading the Pleiadian Keys to the Living Library, the keepers of time are the original instigators, the innovators of the living libraries. They are creations of the game masters. You must be, and we use your human terms here, very highly evolved in order to make contact with the keepers of time. Many know of their existence, but how do you find them and get them to communicate? Stories exist of highly evolved beings upon your planet. Yet how do you meet them? How do you get them to work with you? How do you get them to impart their secrets to you? It's simple. You must learn to match their frequency. Now, you know, they're almost saying in this book what I've said over and over again on these calls. The only thing is that they spoke about, they made one mistake in this book, and at least with me, they said, stories exist of highly evolved beings on your planet. And I think in my case, they made a mistake, and I just fell into the wrong wormhole, and they said, well, we'll work with them. Terry's known me for a long time, and I certainly didn't feel highly evolved when all this started. Like the yogis and shamans of your world, the keepers of time possess ambiguous personalities. They are enigmas. Although they are known and respected, none know where they dwell, how to contact them, or what they look like. It is our fortune, and they mean the Pleiadians, to be able to work with the keepers of time. They are our teachers, as we are one set of your teachers. The keepers of time have tricked us into discovering the living libraries. They have tricked us well into figuring out how to activate these libraries, because the keepers of time do not want to lose their universe. The keepers of time will keep your universe separated until that point of existence, when the whole universe understands that it is one. When this occurs, the universe will collapse in upon itself, so to speak, becoming one with the prime creator and understanding what it is. The keepers of time do everything in their power not to lose this universe, because if your universe destroys itself before it completes, it will not fulfill its purpose. In order to do this, they separate the universe by creating what you call time. Time separates everything, allowing the universe to explore itself, discover that everything works together, and come to the eventual understanding that it is whole and that it all is one. The keepers of time are watching their universe be taken over. They see that it is headed towards destruction and separation, a separation that they, in fact, support. They keep your universe separated in order for it and each separate other world to discover on their own the importance of every other world. The separation that the keepers of time are concerned with is the separation of existing life forms from their essence. The separation of existing life forms from their essence. It is through this method that reptilian and other energies are creating tyranny. There is a point far into your future where the keepers of time are very concerned about the direction that this has moved into. We are using the best terms we can to create concepts for you. Now, that's, of course, the Pleiadians. We have learned that mastery in teaching often comes about with trickery. Trickery involves confounding a current belief structure in order to perceive another. We are students ourselves figuring all of this out, just as you are. And we have our own teachers who trick us into doing certain things, one of which is working with your planet. Now, some of you got tricked into paying attention to me because of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. That's a trick. This has nothing to do with Edgar. It does have to do with it, because it got your attention, and it has to do with the channelings of David Wilcock. And, you know, that they actually set that up, hoping that, you know, down the road, a bunch of people would pay attention. You see, these guys up there know that it's hard to get attention down here. We are on a quest looking for our own ticket to ride, adventurers that we are. And there's a whole story around how we got involved with Earth. Our quest involved finding the living libraries, and your planet happened to be a key. We said, isn't this interesting? Our ancestors have been tiptoeing in and out of that place for eons, and here it is, the key we are looking for, and we don't even see it under our noses. It is interesting the way things are hidden in realities. We, too, employ similar strategies to entice you to go into realities, to meet other portions of yourself, so that you can bring about a change within your own lives and within the universe itself. We come from the future and are searching through the corridors of time. This is our assignment. From the probable future that we are coming from as Pleiadians, we are intending to alter the past. Our intention is to change the probable future that we are operating with, because that probable future in one direction of your universe's new movement has turned out to be filled with tyranny. This is a free will zone and a free will universe, and that means all is allowed. In this particular experiment, all things are prime creator. We remind you that in this world of duality, shadow defines light. Go take a walk on a sunny day and see what the shadows do. Begin to study your world literally and symbolically and see that your world speaks to you all of the time. Earth is an absolutely miraculous place in existence because it has been filled with the story of the universe, as has the human body. The human was designed in this fashion because of the living library. When the universe is functioning in a harmonic, without tyranny, one civilization is free to exchange information with another. This facilitates great commerce and a great trade of ideas for single energies to come and explore. The living library is like a gigantic potluck dinner. A collective of civilizations working in harmony generously gave all their knowledge and energies to form it. They created locations in your universe where information was stored. The information would be available to facilitate the universe's development when the time became necessary for it. The time is now. There are civilizations in space that are dying because they do not have access to the living library. In the same way, masses of humans are dying because you do not understand and have access to your own bodies. You are integral keys. The courage and faith that you have in yourself will determine the course of experience for all of existence. As Earth moves into a place of balance and synchronistic union, she will create a geometric lineup with the 11 other libraries that make up this library system. When this alignment takes place, the 12 libraries will create their own configuration of light that will reshape your universe, signaling connection, a certain victory, so to speak, for all of creation. You are linked to the 11 other libraries, and your task is to unite all 12, creating the spinning of the 12, just as you are spinning 12 chakras to open and connect information inside yourselves. You're going to spin 12 libraries back into existence. The spinning of these 12 systems, 12 chakras, and 12 cosmic libraries will draw energies that will intermingle and move throughout many information centers. This will trigger new versions and meanings to events that perhaps before seemed irrelevant and insignificant. As you piece together the larger pictures, you will begin to understand the so-called gods in action and how they employ your world. Okay. Well, you can see why that intrigued me. Now, I'm not sure I quite understand the 11 libraries, the living libraries, and the coordination of them. But I do know that when we're on this call, we are creating a vortex into a very high realm. Or that's the way I interpret it. And this voice talks to me that says they're the Council of Elohim. And I want, you know, Terry, are you on the line, Terry?
Yeah, I am.
Did you find that interesting?
Very interesting.
Now, Terry had no idea. In fact, she never has any idea what I'm going to do on these shows. And what we're doing is an actual live conversation, assuming they will come in, and we're going to ask a couple questions about that information. And if you're on this call and you have not ordered my book, or my, actually I call it my 212 primer package, please go to returnofedgar.com. If you order it tonight, you get $15 off. If you put OCT5, October 5th, as the discount code. And if you don't order it tonight, you order it tomorrow, you can put OCT6, and you get $10 off. And then after tomorrow, the sale is over. But you get, there's about 5 books all talking about all of, from all these different sources we're communicating with. And if you go to Casey's back, then there's a link at the bottom that goes to the 212 primer package. Please do it. We're going to bring the energy in now. And one of the books in that series was Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which was a good portion of it is from Terry. And it is no small thing to be having conversations with the Elohim live. And as we do this, I would like to ask all of you to just radiate a loving, protected energy into the space. I'm going to do a little invocation. We have about 7 minutes here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, both on the conference call and out in internet land. And I'd like to ask all of you who would free willingly choose to do so to make an intention to create a touching of our energies, a braiding of our energies in that experience that Jesus called communion, but this is not religious. This is just we're actually doing it. And you can imagine your energy leaving the top of your head. And each person is leading the top of their head through the crown chakra, and that we all joined and come together at one point, and there's this huge light force, and we invite the two group souls we've been communicating with that are in these same dimensions to join with us, and we're like completing a circuit. We're the descended part of them, and they're the ascended part of us. And right now, we are all one. And we approach oneness. And then if you can feel that energy as it comes in. Terry, do we have a protected space that only positive can enter? And I'm going to turn it over for them to say hello.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We welcome the time that you are approaching wherein you may open your house, your body, your chakras to be available to the libraries that are henceforth becoming available to you as the energies increase and as you move into the area of the radiant energy moving through your chakra and allowing it to open wherein you may then connect up with the houses of the stars. Terry has no vocabulary in this area. The houses of the horoscopes wherein you are able to connect to the configuration where you first entered and were born and took a snapshot of the energy and oriented and grounded to that energy. Now other energies as your chakras are opening are coming into play and allowing you to exchange energy with other houses and to become more open so that you may become more multidimensional, more psychic, and more grounded, not only to the earth, but to your family of stars within which you are living at this time. You've spoken of the keepers of time. We are the keepers of time. We have control over time in movement, to speed up time, to slow down time. Once one gets into the physical universe, time tends to be slow in that it is precipitated by matter and manifestations of matter, which are moving at a very slow rate. The flow of energies are more crystallized and contained within the third density. But as you move into the higher density and as you have more access to the other vibraries coming in with the energy and the opening of your chakras to be accepting energies from the other houses in the star system surrounding you, as you are part of it, you may interplay more and experience a lifting and an ascension in frequency and in mind and body and spirit and flow with it and do not get stuck in the undertow or the undercurrent as some of your earth this time is experiencing an undertow. Those are our comments.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The question is, how are we linked to the Pleiadian? I would say that for the past few years, I've been going to the the universe-ity. Okay. And I mean,
yeah, bud.
I've been talking to beings. There is a point far into your future. All things are prime creator existence. As Earth moves into a place of balance and synchronistic union, she will create a geometric lineup with the 11 other libraries that make up this library system. When this alignment takes place, the 12 libraries will create their own configuration of light that will reshape your universe, signaling connection, a certain victory, so to speak, for all of creation. You are linked to the 11 other libraries, and your task is to unite all 12, creating the spinning of the 12, just as you are spinning 12 chakras to open and keep
time, and it does not create as mercurial a connection as you were maybe thinking of. However, within the heart of hearts of their essence, they know that you are speaking of them and the connection is there.
Thank you. On that note, everyone is saying, God, I wish this didn't have to end now, but it is. And I want to thank everyone that's on this line. Let me turn it over to you so you can just properly say goodbye to us. We're actually, I'm sorry to keep you on the time schedule of this BBS, but it's 6:50. So we probably have another 90 seconds, and then I'll just close the show. Thank you. Go ahead.
We are happy to speak of you in these terms as it opens the heart of the instrument we speak through, and the energy is able to flow, and we are experiencing this more with the instrument than ever before, and we are open to work with each and every individual on the line and be available for them and to work at their own particular level with their whatever issue or interest or intention they may be working with. We love you all. Adonai.
Thank you so much for being with us. If you happen to be one of those who's listening for the first time tonight, we do this every Monday. On Wednesdays, we have a conference call where people ask questions. On Sunday, we work on a planetary healing session. And this conference call we're doing right now has been the foundation, and the people that are coming into it and on the phone line have been so good in holding a protected space, because it's a rare thing to be able to do something like this publicly.
All right, back live over here, the Keepers of Time, the Elohim Group. This is quite interesting. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to open up the microphones, I mean the lines, and see if anyone wants to bring up something that might be of value to the group. Let's see. Here we go.
Actually, it's still the recording now. So let's
all right,
see what
I hope
said.
You guys like this.
That was great.
Oh, it was great.
Do you have any more insights into who the living libraries are?
All callers are unmuted.
Okay. I have a question for Wynn. He's there.
Like it dropped out.
Yeah. Oh, he dropped out.
Seems like
okay. Sure, but I think the living library might be like every species, every animal, every plant, every frequency.
Hey, when?
Like a copy.
Do you find out what the living libraries are?
Well, ask it. You can ask it on Wednesday.
Okay.
I mean, I could give my answer. We know the.
So.
My answer would be, from all that we have asked, is the universe is alive, and it's segmented into dimensions, but the dimensions are not separate. They flow into each other. One dimension flows into the next to the next. And if you take the segments that are alive, then the total segment could act as one and have access to all the histories of that particular segment. So, like, for example, everyone has heard of the Akashic Records.
Right.
And the Akashic Records are the part of the Earth's field that stores all the memories of what's happened on Earth. So it is like a library. Okay? And then every planet would probably have a similar thing. And then the solar system would incorporate all of that. And the galaxies would incorporate all of that. And so accessing the living libraries gives one the ability to track the history of the universe. So when we talk to the Elohim, of course, they can access that and talk, you know, answer any particular questions about a particular library. But the thing is, it's hard to even come up with questions outside of the Akashic records, okay? Because it's also complex. There's so much stored. And I remember the first time I was, you know, in the period when Daphne was channeling, they said that she could access the living libraries. Or the, is that the right word? Living libraries? I can't remember now. In any case, there were different times when in those initial 6 months or later where I was talking to the solar logos. And the solar logos is the center of our galaxy, okay? And there were other times when I ended up talking to the planet Jupiter. And, I mean, this was like, is this for real? Am I really talking to these guys? And I did some questions. I say, why are they talking? Why am I having access to this amazing stuff? And their answer was, well, imagine it's like attending the universe city, the university, but they said it like universe city, or, you know, that it was like I was kind of being trained to go forward, and I was integrating all of this bit by bit by bit so that I could do this work right now. But that was before I was doing what I'm doing now, when I was still like in this perplexed state of saying, where is this coming from? You know? And you know, Daphne happens to be very, very articulate. One day, maybe I'll play that audio. This was not a public audio. This was a private session. In fact, I don't even know if we were doing public things at that time. And I was just trying to integrate my experience. So, does that answer the question?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay. And in the channeling, did it get to the place where there was the keepers of time?
To the place?
You know, I was listening. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I wasn't sure if Hyas was pushing it forward because it was going to stop, you know, go over. But instead, it went under, okay? But,
they did talk about the keepers of time. I don't know if they played everything or not, though.
Yeah. Well, that was towards the end of that particular session. So if you heard it, probably.
Yeah.
They didn't go into it extensively. Be another good, question session about the keepers of time and what the keepers of time can do. If I remember, maybe I'll ask that on Sunday and follow that up.
What I played was a replay back then, so that's why I was yeah. piece of it out.
Hey, I yeah. have a question. I have a pretty good question. When we're listening to a replay like that, and we start to feel the vibrations, even on a replay, is that something that can happen? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As he remains present.
You know, what happens is their frequencies are on the replay, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, and like in one of the early sessions, it was said, as you study us, we study you. So the frequencies trigger their energy to be present, okay?
Wow.
They've also said numerous times that themselves that the replays do carry the energy for people who listen to replays.
Right.
Wow. They would probably confirm that too.
Yeah. I said this. I talked about Sunday how Terry and I were talking to her two friends who. I mean, she's been meeting with them for many months now. Maybe even 10 months, I don't know. But, you know, I have sat in on with them more than once. But I felt it was better for me not to let Terry have our own affinity and connection with people. And that's just being my shadow. When I sat there, I just bit my tongue and stayed quiet. But most recently, last Sunday, we had breakfast together. And, I mean, we're really taken with Terry. Terry's energy is so amazing and so loving. And people don't even understand it. I'm loving, but in a different way. I'm much more catalytic. You know, usually I tend to surface other people's negativity if we're confronted too quickly.
You and Terry are like Valerie. Me and Valerie are the same way.
Yeah.
If you met Valerie, you would think I feel like Valerie has the same energy. She's been somebody before I know. Somebody loyal. Mm-hmm. Probably somebody who's kind of went through a lot of pain. Somebody who's come back to go through a lot of pain here too on this planet. Their higher position. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think that her and Terry, if they hooked up, it would be something to listen to, like your friend Terry hooked up.
Well, come to Sedona, if you come to Sedona, we'll have breakfast together. That's a coffee pot.
Another year.
Yeah. I mean, Sedona is an awfully fun place to be. Not for me. I'm, you know, all these red rocks and spiritual retreats and alternative healers and da 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 da. We got to go over the whole planet healing in 3 minutes. So, anything, any. But you know, when you hear a tape like that, it creates questions. So if you have a good question, it's better to ask them on a Wednesday than me, because I do okay, but get it from the horse's mouth.
Well,
I don't have a
picture to you and then on email. On questions at infinity.com and it's a picture I saw in Berkeley. It's a some lights I saw on the wall. And I was wondering if Terry. I just wanted to let you know that maybe you asked that on Wednesday. Maybe talk about that.
When did you ask the question?
I said it today before the show started. I thought you might.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll find it then. I'll find it.
Right.
Okay.
No worries.
So, all right. Now, if ever you ask a question and it doesn't get asked, then resubmit it the next week or the week after. Okay? Valerie has had $10,000 worth of readings on our Wednesday calls. but usually I give some priority to people that are going through deep doo-doo and trying to get out of it, okay? And I ask their questions first, okay? And then I ask more esoteric questions second.
Okay.
Or I'll just put one esoteric question. But if you keep asking it, the intention of your asking it will force me to ask it, okay? So, in any case, we'll see you on All Planet Healing, okay?
Yeah, you will, yeah. Thanks.